we were talking about strongholds. Amen? So we're going to finish up on that today, on strongholds. And we're looking here in 2 Samuel chapter 5 on this. This is our principles. You find out in the Word of God is these principles are all through Scripture. They're all right here. A lot of times we go, well, that's a principle of Scripture. I didn't even realize it, but we do things that are biblical. People do things that are biblical and work out because they're biblical principles. So it's human nature. God put it right in here so obviously we can apply it to our lives and be able to show others, not only point out that the Word of God is true, but if you use these principles and concepts and you apply them, God will work in it. And that's kind of what the book is. The book is a great book. And we started here with the first one. On this stronghold break, there's six principles found in Samuel here. And around the first one, which is the battle. And I'm going to go through them and finish up here today. And remember, we covered in this battle, who's our leader? Jesus Christ. He leads the battle, right? And then second was the Bible, because he had a sword. And what's the picture of the sword? The Word of God to fight that battle. So always Jesus Christ is the captain. We have the Word of God. And number three, you know what it is? It's the church. And when I say church, you know, I don't mean a church building. It's the church is the body of Christ. And that's important, especially in our age here, because the most significant problem we have, people not continually coming to church, because there's encouragement in church. I mean, it's like a coal. You find one coal by itself, and it can do much, but if you come out together, it heats up everybody. I mean, I hope you and folks that come into morning services, they find it to be a highlight of their week. I do. Amen? I mean, so it's important that you have the church here as a very important thing. These three all work together. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, local church, and I think Matthew 16:18 talks about the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. Well, in our age, that's our local believers. So the believers, many times the believers can minister to each other, bear one another's burden, and that'll help us. Our generation has so many gadgets and devices in our world today to take away from the fundamental things that lay the solid foundation of the church, you know? And it says 2 Timothy or 2 Chronicles 2:11, says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Get that? Devices that we have? Look what COVID did. Everyone got online and never see him again in church sometimes. I mean, never came back. They got a habit with their device, and their device got a hold of them, and well, I'm going to go watch it online. And I don't have a problem with that if you're ill, whatever it is, but that's their church is online. I mean, one of my daughter's friends, they go to some, you know, new evangelical church, and there's one pastor, everything's all satellite to their churches. It's all watching. You go to there to watch a video. I mean, they get the fellowship, like everyone is, they call them campuses. It's a campus. And so there's watching a video. I mean, and one pastor has seven campuses. So one pastor, and that's just, it's just my opinion, I think it's crazy. So one of them is just, it says here, one of the best things to do is to read and study. Why? Because you can't, you know, people are playing games on their computers, everything, and they forget about reading. Reading is very important because it's a fundamental tool, not only to help you in the world secularly, but you're studying your King James Bible. So you need to read and study the King James Bible. That's why it says there, study in 1 Timothy there, 3:15, because that's a commandment. Study to show yourself approved. Real important to study and get the thing down. So the first thing is, we're in a battle, understanding who's in charge of the battle, understanding the tools you have to bring down these strongholds. Number two, David changed the name of the city. It says in 2 Samuel 5:9, for David dwelt in the fourth and called it the city of David. And David built around about from Milo and inward. And once you see that Christ has led the battle, that's the first point. Next thing you know, David did is he changed the name to the city. And he calls it the city of David. Notice that. Why didn't he call Jerusalem? Why did he call the city David? Because he shows him he took personal responsibility for his life. Get that? Taking personal responsibility. I'm called by my name. Get that? That's important you understand that concept. David is talking the personal responsibility and accountability of your life. Very important you understand that. Everyone's always trying to blame someone else for these strongholds. You're taking responsibility. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And you take responsibility. Understanding that stronghold, you're in a battle, I'm taking responsibility, not throwing it at someone else. Notice also in this verse, David built a fort. We must begin to build a fortress. They must begin to move out of the fleshly stronghold that the strong was holding into God's stronghold. You see that? We're in the flesh. We have a stronghold, something else controlling us beside the Word of God. So obviously into God's stronghold. But notice that David built a fort. It doesn't say that he ordered it on eBay and it was delivered to his house. He built it upon himself. And he built it stick upon stick, log upon log. Probably one of the greatest keys found, if we're going to go into a good Bible church, we must encourage others directly and in a brethren. So that's what he does. Is you build upon precept on precept. Nobody wakes up and they're super strong Christian, right? I mean, it doesn't happen that way. You have a desire and you're building upon something. Someone helps you out. And what's interesting is I've tried to help people out because, you know why? By God's grace, many people's helped me out throughout the years. You know what though? Hey man, people have been real gracious to me and I didn't even know what they were doing because I was a young believer. But later on, I got mature. Hey, they're trying to build me up and help me out. And now I realize that. So we do, it's good to do to others. So, and then also notice that David built a fort, but he built the fort from the inside out. It says, and David built around about from Milo and inward. So it's an inward thing. People, you've got to get first Godward, then we can look inward, and that God will take us outward. It's always from the inside out. You must start to build from the inside. You got to change your thinking, and you got to change your attitude. It's that thing called stinking thinking, right? It's right here. Stinking thinking and attitude. That's what comes out of everything. Hey, I got a bad attitude. You know, you got somebody at work has a bad attitude. Like, don't be around them. It's stinking thinking and bad attitude. So David understood that it started here. And so we get to number three, understanding that the victory that God has for you through your attitude and action. Look what he did here. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Hebron. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Note that David was 7.5 years in Hebron and 33 years. So he started, God started in one place, but what he did, he ended right. He saw the big picture, get that? Yeah, he was 7.5 years, not even where he's supposed to be, but God was still using him, reigning him, and he ended right. That's very important to get that. You know what the end game is. How are you gonna finish out? What is your end game? When you understand the battle, when you understand you take responsibility, you build upon a proper foundation, God's word, and then the Lord wants you to have the right calling and right. See, how you're able to get out of these strongholds? A drunk or an alcoholic or whatever a problem people have, they think they're going to quit drinking and the problem solved. That's not it. That's nothing could be further from the truth. But they have to realize that through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's no longer a drunk if he gets saved. Get that? But he's a new creature in Jesus Christ. See, I was just watching a little blurb. This guy was Charlie Sheen. He was an actor. Alcohol ruined his quote career. But I've been sober for seven, whatever, how many years, and he's cussing all that. I mean, he thinks that because if he got drinking, he problem solved. he's still going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, every day, hey, if you're new in Christ, you're no longer a drunk. Build upon that foundation. Every day he has to think, don't drink, don't get involved with that. I mean, that's a worldly thing. You have a worldly principle. It's the outward, not the inward. You see that there? That's important. You got to get that. So that's what happens. You got to work from the inside out. David did, his attitude. And number four, the city is defeated as soon as David was made king. Kind of interesting here. It says here that, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. The fourth one, not only Jesus Christ had to lead the battle, and he had to change the name of the city, take responsibility, understanding that there, your attitude. But here you need to see that the city is defeated as soon as David is made king. When they made Jesus Christ king of their life, when he was most dominating force in your life, even though you're struggling with whatever stronghold you have, that's your way out. That's a key. Key changes need to be made in your life when he's made king. And here are five that are the key ones, in my opinion, from Scripture. And a lot of these you don't even know, but as you mature and understand them, you can have a strong hold on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one is our affections change. This is something that gets that whether you're saved away from the Lord, but then or you get saved, look at your affection. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. It tells us that once Christ is made king of our lives, our affection change, and we are set our affections on things above. Doesn't mean you don't love the things of life. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. It means your priority are different. For a person, stronghold, this is the problem. Wrong priorities will always lead to wrong choices. Wrong choices will always lead to wrong attitudes. And wrong attitudes will always lead to the wrong actions. It's that simple. So, what do you love? Hey, you know what though? Before I got saved, I liked fishing, hunting, listen to classical music and coffee. I still love that, but those things won't control you. You get what I'm saying? You know, it could be some good things. Obviously, things that would those could be a stumbling block too. If you're bent on the it's the sports now, it's football, and that consumes you. It's a stronghold. You got to understand that. You know, I mean, understand. There's gonna be some good things that can be bad, but the bad things, you know, you need to put them aside. So it's our affection. What do you love? That's your affection right there. Two, your citizenship changes. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We have our citizenship changes. The Bible says we are now citizens of heaven. Our citizenship changed. Most people never realize it. But the moment they get saved, your citizenship changes. You are now sealed in heavenly places, and that brings up a whole different perspective of life. To the things that life are now, you look at, not the way you looked at from the world. So a lot of time takes a while to get this, but if you understand the citizenship, hey, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm just passing through. I mean, it gets rid of that stronghold. Number three, our position changes. Our position changes. We're seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Get that? I mean, that's a process. When someone gets saved, they never understand all these things, but as you build upon them and those strongholds that you have that were bad or are coming after you, you understand that's different. You are now seated in heavenly places, and you're not on this part of this earth anymore. You are in the world, but you're not part of the world. You now have a mandate and a calling that is supernatural. Hey, I mentioned the weekend I had. Hey, yeah, I like to go fishing, but hey, it's a ministry. I mean, that's always, what are you going to do here to help someone out? I mean, because you're focused on heavenly things, right? You're an ambassador. You see what I'm saying? That's the way the life should be as you walk. It takes you outside the natural realm of this world and everything in it. And when you understand that your affections have changed, your sensitivity have changed, then you see that they are seated in heavenly places. You are. You're not in the bars anymore, or the boats, or the ball games. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not your priority. You get that? All part of getting these strongholds solid in your life. And number four, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God." So we're an ambassador. I mean, this changes the whole game right there. An ambassador travels to another country from their home country, and they're not a citizen of that country. We are immediately in the country that he represents. And that's heavenly, right? So, I mean, yeah, we're Americans. Well, I get we're Americans, but you know what, though? We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That puts us, I mean, that's the first place. You know, I mean, you know, that's important. In a spiritual sense, the moment you get saved, you're now an ambassador of heaven. You take the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ into a dying world. You become an ambassador to planet Earth. That's your calling. That's everyone's calling. What God's will for you in life, I don't know what God wills for you personally. Don't ask me. But your calling, that's your calling is easy to get. So I know what the calling is, and now what God's will is, I'm going to do my calling, whatever God's will is for your life. It's really that simple. The will is something you have to figure out with the Lord. Now you can see how these things will build the affections, the citizenship, heavenly places, and ambassadorship. That makes your foundation really, really solid. Now, also, notice here, our conversation, our lifestyles change. This is a key one here. Philippians 3:20. "For our conversation is not in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation be about heavenly things. Conversations in the old Bible, it's kind of lost some of its meaning. But what that means is kind of your lifestyle, because it's built on the principles of what you say. You know, what does God say? Your words are important. Hey, your word should be your word and rock solid. My word is my word, rock solid. That's what that means. So, I mean, Jesus Christ's word, well, he said this, you know, his word is his word, and we should emulate that. "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And when you see all these things coming together, the last thing is our lifestyle should change. Our conversation should change. Why? Because our affections have changed. Our decisions has changed, and we are now seated in heavenly places. We are an ambassador. We begin to understand our job and attitude and our actions. Christ should be king of our lives. He is leading the battle. All these things are steps that lead us through those strongholds. I mean, it's right here in plain English. It's just putting it all together and understanding. Oh, ha, now I know how. And people that have gone through things, the more they realize these things, the easier those strongholds, if they come out, they're easy to get away. Very important. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, very, very important verses here. It says, "For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ." Verse 6, "And having in a readiness to revenge all obedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Now, this is about obeying things. The context is the flesh. You're always fighting against this flesh. It's Paul that says, "In this flesh dwelleth no good thing." It's the spirit and the word of God, no one says, and the flesh. And it's really a battle, a day by day battle. And what happens as you brought down the flesh, that's where you walk in the spirit. So it's always a battle with the flesh. In Ephesians 4:22, it says, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man." There's that, the old man, the works you're doing with the old man, "which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the battle is really for your mind. I mean, what is programming on TV? To program your mind, right? And then that they program your mind, then it goes to your heart and it goes to your actions. You get that? It's simple. It's the mind that the first thing that the devil really wants, they want to program you, and that you put on new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the Word of God. Got the Word of God. I got what this says. I got what the programming says. Which one are you going to believe? Let God be true and every man a liar. You want to see the fact that you have to put something off, then you put something in, they put something on. You see that? You got to get in your mind. You put things away that are not good, all the programming. You put the Word of God in your heart and mind, and on comes Jesus Christ. It's really a simple process. And what happens is, if you've been a believer a while, this is a unconscious, and think about this, because you're walking in the Word. But sometimes you have to, well, how did I get in that trouble? How did that person in that trouble there? Well, you can kind of see the principles, how he or she got there, and now you can help minister to get them out of there, show them the scriptures, and say, this is what the Bible says, there's a principle here, and then, give it to them, and say, you know what, though? The Holy Spirit working in their life. And go, you know what, though? They're right. That's true. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see that there? And it says, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. It's the mind from the Word of God. That's why it's so important to believe you got the absolute words of God in your hands. And that's really kind of what it comes down to, because faith comes by hearing, by understanding the words of God and believing them. Hey, these are important, and now I've got this mind. I read it, my mind comes to my heart, and then you know, Christian, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's very important. And fifth, I'm gonna finish up here. Fifth thing here of putting on strongholds is putting the Word of God in their life. It says here in Samuel here, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. And David said unto on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore, they said, the blind and the lame shall not come unto the house. What here is the key? It is David defends the city and takes a stronghold. How does he do it? Through the water system. See how he took it physically? The gutters are part of the water. And that's what they did in the old days. If they can just block you out of your food and water, they eventually will, you're done. Here, if you can't have water and food, hey, why kill people? Where's in a camp get rid of your water system or your food? And you're going to surrender. That's not easier than going in there and trying to, right? That's what they kind of did. How many people were ever in, go to Israel and go to Hezekiah's tunnel? Anyone ever been there? That's interesting. I mean, that thing is 3,000 years old. It's still working. It's 533 meters. I remember my wife didn't go there. She's a little claustrophobic, and I got in there. If you're claustrophobic, you want to go in there. And there was a couple before me, a bunch of kids, and they're screaming and yelling. I had to go, okay, well, Lord, give me some settling down, because when you're screaming and yelling and having fun, it's real stressful. But it's almost a third of a mile, and they built it, understand, from different spots and got together. How they did that? The Lord. But he kept the water in the city, and so they were able to survive. It's this water system is the key. This is the place where the water came into the city. You and I both know that this is a type of the Word of God. So our study, the city stronghold, is defeated through the water system, which is the Word of God, obviously, which is putting the Word of God in your life. We're going to have the Bible, we are going to have, understand, places like this, 5:26, Ephesians 5:26, that says that he might sanctify and cleanse cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word of God cleans us. It's the word of God. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he says, by the washing of water and regeneration of the Holy Ghost. It's by the word of God. So obviously, it was physically back then, the water system. Spiritually, we have the word of God today. Brief recap. We have to quit doing it our way. If we're not willing to stop doing it our way, everybody is just wasting your time, because that is what got us into trouble in the first place. We got to start seeing it, doing it God's way. That can be hard for people because we have conditioned ourselves for years to be in the flesh. You see that? It's that flesh, that's one thing. It's an amazing thing that 3/4 of our world is covered by water, right? But that water you can't drink, it's salt water. So think about it. All that water out there, and most of it can't be drinking. Only a few parts, the fresh water we can drink. That's kind of like the world's water ain't good, but God's water. You see that? God puts it right in front of all this water. It ain't good for you. You want the good water. I mean, everything you see around, you can bring into the scripture again. Yeah, look at all this water. People lost in the ocean. They're thirsty. They can't drink what they're floating in. That's just a picture of what's going on with the real water today. It's pretty important, you know. You know, there's 9 gates, right? And the Bible's on Jerusalem, one's called what? The water gate. And without good water, a person or church can't be unfruitful. That's why you got that bad water in a lot of churches. And what do you have? Rock and roll, social clubs. See, I say I'm there. If they ain't got the good water, which messes them up. One gate, the water gate, that is the gutter I talked about here. This is the we're talking about here. It's understanding that principle that when you went against in Kings and tacked the water and stopped it, understood that, you had victory. Same thing spiritually. And last thing, a few minutes here, David made his place his home. It says here in 2 Samuel 5:10, and David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. So here's the final thing here about strongholds, about this passage here. This should be the end result of someone who gets rid of strongholds in their life. We need to see what David made this place his home. He changed the name, took responsibility, made the city his own, which is his body. I'm going to give it to God. When he finally achieved victory, he made the most of the victory that God gave him, where he lived. This is why we need to do what we need to do. Right where we, wherever you are at, that's your place. I live in my neighborhood. You know, we were on Friday, my little town, holding my sign, hope passing tracks out, everything. I mean, whatever you take, wherever you're at, be a witness where you're at. Kind of the principle is be a witness at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, other parts of the world. You know where it starts? No one has a burden other parts of the world that have it right here in their hometown. 3-foot rule, right? Amen? See that process? Oh, God always has a process on this thing. The real question is, where are you living today? Amen? David is established God's plan as about breaking strongholds. From this point on, as far as David is concerned, his 40 years is now Israel's stronghold. And that's why he's one of a great person in the scripture, because here he was, and we follow him, we see what he did to break strongholds. David went on, it says, and grew great. Once he did these 6 things in his life, David went on and grew great. There's a growth process. It says that takes process time. Once you get the victory, once you get to the stronghold, why? The Lord Jesus Christ host was with him. That is what God wants for everyone and his people, is that you have to get rid of all the strongholds of the world, get a stronghold on God, and where you're at, be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a Christian man I know, close to here, named Brother Daniels. He's from Lighthouse Children's Home, if you ever heard that. This guy's completely blind. He has glass eyes. If you didn't see him, he reads his Bible through Braille like nothing. And he travels, goes all over the world, and he knows his Bible without actually seeing it. See, that's in his heart. I mean, I can't believe how he gets around. He's comfortable with exactly where he's at. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's got glass eyes, nothing. He goes through airport, and just figures things out because he has the confidence that what he's doing is for the Lord. And he runs this Lighthouse Children's Home all over the world. It's an amazing thing. I go, how can he do it? You know why? See, he got rid of the strongholds of the world, and all these ambassador of God, I'm it. And he didn't give me eyes, but I'm going to use that. And that's quite an example to me. So, in closing here, it's important we get these strongholds. I hope this is a good concept here found in 2 Samuel. In our next patterns class, where I teach, I'm going to go through tribulations we face, how to handle those. So this pattern's not a stronghold. The good scriptures, a good pattern right here in scripture. And the next time, we're going to do tribulations in your lives and how to kind of handle them. Okay. Questions, comments, anything? All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for just looking at this pattern about strongholds, a lot of things Old Testament. You look how they did things physically and how we can apply them spiritually to us. It's an amazing thing. This book is unbelievable and how true it is. So I just thank you that we can be able to give the folks here, and maybe they've had things in their lives where they see how they came over these and they use these principles. And then also how they can use them to minister to others with these principles and patterns. Oh God, thank you very much for laying them out right here in our King James Bible. We thank you. We praise you. We look forward to Brother Hoffman as he comes and come back from his trip and be able to minister accordingly. May you prepare hearts, and we'll give